Yes, that is the song that I wanted. Thank you so much. This is our final Sunday of the Revelation series, and we've got a few texts from the very end of the book. So I'm going to read those to you once I remember exactly what they were. We're going to do 12 through 17 and 20 and 21. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let everyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. And may the Lord grant us hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. All right, I've got two little illustrations this morning, and it's only 9:30, so where we'll go. Just joking. Or not. The first one, I've been reading this little book called Seven Brief Lessons on Physics by Carlo Rovelli. Are there any physicists in the house? Good. Are there any, even if there's anybody who teaches elementary science, just bear with me for a minute. For a second. This book is basically, it's actually pretty good because it's kind of easy for pastors to understand explanations of physics and the laws of physics and things like that. The first one in here is about Einstein's theory of general relativity. And that has to do with gravity, how it works and everything like that. Now, for a while, a long, long time, right, there was the guy, the apple fell on his head, right? He's like, what is going on here, right? And so he thought that there must be something about things with great mass that they have this force, right? And somehow it attracts things to each other, and, you know, planets swirl around the sun because there's this gravitational force. And which sounded pretty good. Everybody was like, okay, but there's no real way to see what's in between those things. Like, what's pulling the things toward each other? What is it? There's a lot of holes in the explanation. So Einstein was just hanging out on a brief vacation reading some Immanuel Kant. That's what people do when they're just hanging out on the beach. Not really. But he started wondering about this question, and the thing he came up with is this idea of the general theory of relativity. And the amazing thing about it is it's just so simple. I mean, it's not simple to, like, you know, it's a formula with mathematics and crazy stuff that would take a long time to really understand, but it's very simplistic in its explanation of things. And what he said was is that gravitation is not necessarily a force, but it's this field. And it's not just like a field. Let's do it this way. What the other old explanation was is that we were in this empty container called space, and the planets and everything had these forces that attract them together. What Einstein said was that actually the space is the gravitational field. That all the thing we see is space out in the universe is the gravitational field. And if you have a big sheet of spandex at home, which most of you probably do, everybody does, out in the garage somewhere, you can stretch it over like a big kind of hula hoop looking thing. If you stretch it out and you put a mass in the middle of it and you like throw some marbles around, you'll see that they start circling. You ever seen those things in the mall where you're supposed to put a quarter in and it drops in the thing? Right. They start orbiting just like that. And you can run all these little tests on the way we see things in the world, and it fits this because What he said was that there's when you see a big mass out in this field, it warps it and it shifts it and it makes it, you can see light out in space being shifted and warped by in the gravitational field by things of large mass. And this basically rocked the science world, right? People just, oh, okay, you know. And it changed their whole vision of the way things work in space. And here, we don't, you know, it doesn't impact us very much because we just stand and are grateful that our food's not flying straight up instead of going in our mouths and holding it to our fork, right? But for scientists, it explained so much. And the reason why I'm telling you this is just because I think it's fun. Now we'll move on. No. The reason why I'm saying this is because that throughout this whole series, I think what Steve and I have been trying to do, and also what I think John is trying to do in the book of Revelation, is to tell us that there is a way that we see the world. There's a way that we understand how the world works because we watch news all the time, and we see all these tragedies, and we see these wars, and we see all these things going on. There's a way that we see the world that way. And all of a sudden, it makes us so that that's our theory of how the world works, right? There's all this bad stuff going on, and we're just trying to, you know, hunker down and survive through it, right? But what John is trying to show us is that there's this whole other thing going on in the world. There's this whole presence of God's kingdom that is breaking out in the world, and that it's that stuff that we saw so clearly in Jesus Christ, his love for others, his compassion and mercy, all the things in Jesus' life are the things that will persist in this world, even though they don't look like it sometimes. That love is the thing that makes it into the future. That compassion and mercy, even in the face of all of the violence around us, that is the thing that persists and is the only thing left in the end. When we see John's picture of the heavenly kingdom, it is this picture of where our needs are provided for. Love is what rules, right? And this lectionary tries to leave out the part about how the sorcerers and fornicators and all those who do falsehood, they cut that verse out. If you look, right, that verse is cut out because we don't like to think about that. But I think we have to cut John some slack because he's trying to imagine a world where God's kingdom has actually come and all the things that God wants for this world actually have come true. So falsehood and murder and those kind of things, if they're in that new heaven and new earth, it's not a new heaven and a new earth, is it? It's the same as the old one. All right. First illustration. The second one is a little bit closer to home. Today is Mother's Day, right? And everyone, I was going to say everyone who has a mother, but that's, you know, so at some point, right, you had one. But the interesting thing about mothers is as you grow, you know, some of you who are younger probably haven't realized this yet, but as you grow older, your perception of your mother changes, right? At first, it's just give me what I need, right? That's the beginning of it, right? And then a little bit later on, it's like, why don't you understand what I need and give me what I want, right? And then finally, a little later on, it's like, oh, wow, I didn't realize all the things that you were doing for me all along and all the things that you gave me. And when you get older and you become a parent, that's usually when that settles in, right? Well, there is the moments when they try to give you advice and you're kind of like, eh. Mostly, right? Mostly after you become a parent, you realize all the things that your mother has done for you, and your perception changes about that. And that's the same thing. And here's the thing about it, though, is that as mothers, let's imagine this, right? There's the day that your child is walking across the stage, graduating from college, right? Let's say that they are the one that gets to give the speech, right? And they thank their mother for all the things that they've done, right? They say thank you. It's a great day to be a mother, right? You're there, it's a great day to be a mother. But behind all of that, to get to that day, right? Behind all of that is a lot of stuff, right? There's hours and hours of helping with homework. It's tough. there's all the things that you did to make sure that they had food and could be healthy enough and well enough to make it to that point. There's all that stuff that went into that, to getting to that place. And that's the other side of what John is doing with this book. There is this vision of this future that's settled, and it's so great, and it's so worth hoping for. It's so worth wanting to be a part of. But what's the thing that he seems to be talking about in these verses? Laundry. Right? He's talking about doing laundry. Right? He says, look, blessed are those who wash their clothes. Right? I mean, that, he's talking about laundry. It's a strange thing to bring up at this point. But we've seen this over and over again, right? What John is saying is that, look, you know what the good is. You know what makes it into the heavenly kingdom. You know that it is love and not hate, that it's mercy and forgiveness and not violence and revenge. You know these things. So if you want to be a part of that future, start today by doing the laundry. You know, do the stuff in your life that gets to that place, that makes those kind of things spring up in this world, you know, that changes little things in people's lives, that gets them to that place. It's a little bit strange, right? But all of a sudden, in the midst of this great vision of a temple coming down with jewels all around, he wants us to do some laundry. But that's what he's calling us to. Calling us, open our eyes and see this strange truth in the world that forgiveness and mercy, grace, gratitude, that is the true river of life that's running through this world. And then to start opening ourselves to it and to start living it out day to day in even the most mundane and laundry-like ways in our lives. He ends this chapter on general relativity with this statement about what it was like for him when he finally started to see this picture. He says, it was a glimpse of reality, a little less veiled or blurred than our banal everyday view of it, than our regular everyday view, a reality that seems to be made of the same stuff that our dreams are made of, but that is nevertheless more real than our clouded dreaming. This vision that he sees opens his eyes to this other reality that's going on, made up of the same stuff, right? Made up of the same stuff of our reality, made up of the people, the bodies, the mothers, the fathers, the sons, the daughters, the trees. It's made up of the same stuff. But it's different than the one that we're sold on the TV and in the news. It's the one that we try to cultivate here. A vision of reality that understands that if we practice the love and mercy, justice, forgiveness of Jesus, that no matter what happens, even in the face of death, God holds on to us and pulls us into his future, where that is what is all in all. God's love, God, right in our presence, saying, "You are my people. I am your God." So, I'm telling you, on this Mother's Day, not the mothers, but you can take a little break, but everybody else, start doing some laundry, right? No. This is what we're called to, though, is the work of making what God has put inside of us come out into the world. May it be so. Let us pray. Loving God, we just ask for a vision of what you would have for us. Help us to grasp on to the hope that we have in you. Help us to wash away all the anxiety and fear, the violence, everything that we see in this world that gets into our lives. Help us to clear that away. Come in with your Holy Spirit and wash us clean. And lead us out into the world to do some washing of our own.